Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. We call the program today Desperately Seeking Scandals. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the right-wing media and the Republicans' attempt to bring down the Obama administration, which has now failed.
You're not going to bring it down with some of this stuff, but you're going to tie it up instead of doing the important work that the executive branch of government needs to do with the other branches. They want to tie it up with scandals.
Taken up two of the scandals, the Fast and Furious scandal, which is really organized by a field office in Arizona. So you can go back, folks, and look at our Fast and Furious program where we go into it in some depth.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of new information there that you may not have heard. And we did with Bill Timmerman, one of our editors, came in, and he did a long, systematic discussion of the Solyndra story.
Right.
And but let's go back at the beginning, and let's look at a few scandals, and then we'll talk about Benghazi, which is the current Republican.
Just to sum up, both non-scandals, by the way. Fast and Furious was the Phoenix office screwing up. And Solyndra was a matter of the Chinese dumping the timing onto the market of various solar components. So, I mean, it's yet taking these things in the theme of this morning's show for Desperately Seeking Scandals, they were things that didn't go well. And then the right-wing media does such a good job, as we're going to show you, of picking it up and doing 100 segments on a lie or on a half truth.
We have some of the most unscrupulous people in public, like Congressman Issa, that I've ever seen operate. Joe McCarthy level dishonesty.
We're going to slap around our own John McCain this morning, pretty good. Who deserves it?
Yeah. Let's talk about John McCain. Okay, so some of the pseudo scandals, the new Black Panther Party case. Right.
Yeah.
The new Black Panther Party case is three or four guys standing in front of a voting thing and acting ugly and nasty and stuff. And so Republican activist, was able to get who was on the Civil Rights Commission appointed by President Bush, managed to turn this into a major thing. The problem with the Black Panthers interfering with voting is that they couldn't come up with a single voter that was intimidated by these guys standing out in front of the thing. And who were they, just trying to keep Black folks from voting? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they showed up at a polling place with some sticks, some nightsticks, some police nightsticks.
Then there was Fast and Furious. They tried to get Eric Holder on this. This is
the Attorney General.
Yeah. And just like the current Benghazi standard, they're going after Susan Rice.
Right.
Who's the UN ambassador.
And possible nominee for Secretary of State to replace Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and we talked about Solyndra. Again, go take a look at that program. I mean, I think there's a lot of research for that. Then there was a report, the national security strategy and tactics of the Obama administration. All they did was try to explain how it happened, and there was no leak of any serious information of any consequences. So.
Yeah, you remember?
Benghazi go ahead.
For a while, McCain was all over the airwaves talking about how national security was falling apart in the United States because of the Obama administration.
Well, they claimed that Benghazi, which is a terrible attack, four Americans are killed. It was used by a political football, first by Romney, who denounced the American embassy in Cairo, which tried to. All the embassy statement said was that. The United States did not approve, had nothing to do with this anti-Muslim film. And that was turned into an apology for American activities. I mean, I have no problem with us apologizing. We do something wrong. I mean, I think we should say we did something wrong. I mean, that's not, you know, I don't know why we can never apologize for anything when That's one of those mistakes.
That's one of those right wing things that plays well down at the bar, I guess. And you know that you never apologize. You never. It's one of those Navy SEAL things. You don't back off. I mean, it's always you always attack. It's and apologizing makes you look weak.
One of the patterns.
When we all know apologizing, admitting wrongdoing, when you're wrong, makes you strong.
Yeah. one of the patterns we see. And all these pseudo scandals, none of them have turned out. In fact, the problem that the right wing has is there hasn't really been any real scandals.
Well, that's the problem, yeah.
That's their problem.
Yeah.
And so they tried really, really hard to bring down the Obama administration with these pseudo scandals, and it didn't work. The president was reelected. He carried every state that he won in 2008 except for Indiana and North Carolina, and he almost won North Carolina. So
he just couldn't tell enough lies. The lies and the repeat of the lies, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about when we talk about right wing media. Let's get we're talking about organizations that pick up these stories as much as 90 times, 95 times, knowing that they're inaccurate, and yet trying to, like I said, for political reasons, to discredit. Take any burble, anything wrong, and Benghazi was a big one, and then use the news media to discredit it by the repetition.
And when you look statistically at Fox News reporting and all the other outlets taken together, when you have one of these pseudo scandals, Fox News is reporting on it more than all the other media in the United States sort of put together, practically. For instance, on the Black Panther thing, which is really absolutely nothing. They did 95 segments in just a 3-week period.
Yeah, on this.
So what we're focusing is not on American policy in Libya today or what it should be, or we're trying to understand what happened there, and we're trying to get an honest picture of how confusing it is. Mike and I were talking before the show, and I said I have a kind of axiom, which is that the first account of any event is wrong or inaccurate. And whether it's the killing of Osama bin Laden, where we get first one story and then it migrates and changes stuff, or whether it's Benghazi, the first account is almost always wrong. If you've ever been, folks, in a chaotic situation, in a demonstration, or just caught up in events, one time in New York there was the police were chasing a bank robber and there was shooting, and just getting the facts is really hard. Everybody has a different perspective. People saw different parts of it, and it's hard to know who reports things clearly. I think if you've been on a jury, you understand what I mean. Some people on a jury just did not listen to the trial. They act like they weren't there. And so when you try to understand something like Benghazi, you've got to find the people who actually have accurate information. And that's what the FBI is trying to do now. Right?
And that's what Obama said. The quote from the Post article, Washington Post, says, "The information may not always have been right the first time, but if there was a White House conspiracy to cover up the truth, Republicans have yet to produce any evidence of it, much less a connection to Susan Rice," which is the other aspect of this.
Now, so in Benghazi, it's a tragedy in the way 4 Americans killed. To be turned that into a political football seems to me a new level of low. And to claim that means that the whole Obama Middle East policy is unraveling seems just mind-bogglingly over the top.
Yeah, it's they're down at the campfire, blowing on the pine needles, trying to get a spark where there isn't any. Everybody, if you stick a microphone in somebody's face in Benghazi, they will tell you it was local jihadists, and it was a reaction to the video. People know them. These are people who know the attackers personally.
Yeah.
And so the political attempt
here. The thing is, folks, they are contradictory. I've read a whole bunch of firsthand accounts of the event. And, you know, one guy says there was a big crowd. We were caught in a huge crowd with people seemingly shooting on both sides, at the consulate and from the consulate. And we have another guy who says there were demonstrations against the movie in Benghazi, but they weren't in front of we're calling it a consulate. It's not actually a consulate for us. There's embassies, there's consulate. It's doing no consular activity. Consul is where you first it represents the country, and then you go and if you want to go visit the U.S., they issue passports and so forth and so on. They were doing none of that. This was
a mission, a small mission
connected with the CIA operation in the area.
I see.
And it's just emerging now. I think one of the things that the administration didn't want to talk about was how large that the CIA mission is actually larger than their
the
beginning of an embassy.
The State Department.
There.
Yeah. Well, according to the other, and this is, I'm not always fond of this kind of defense, but I believe the source was the other 98%, a Facebook thing. That 53 State Department people died in the 8 years of the Bush administration. I mean, they signed the same pledge that soldiers sign when they go into service, that they are, you know, representing the country and bad things happen and Americans can be targets and all those other things that happen to the military. So, to have this kind of political thing is just really such an insult to those four that died.
The other thing, the whole idea there was a conspiracy by the Obama administration to disguise what happened falls apart because the early reporting, and there's a thing called open source. It's basically the CIA wants to release public information, their version of things, their translations of stuff. Most of it is behind a firewall, and you have to be working for the federal government, I think, at some level or another. But academics and professors and stuff can also draw on this for immediate translation. So you can get the translation of the Chinese press account of what happened. You can get the French account of what happened. And they all tell the story in the beginning of demonstrations that turned violent, were hijacked by these guys. The same story the administration is telling, and that there were demonstrations there. The facts, this is basically what the leaders of Libya said. Now, they're in Tripoli, 400 miles away from Benghazi, and their statements turn out to be not so true. But it's not a conspiracy. It was the way things were reported internationally when it happened.
Let me talk about that for a second. I told you I want to do this. There's two things I want to talk. I want to talk about the New York Times piece, the headline of which is "Election Year Stakes Overshadow Nuances of Libya Investigation." In other words, this was all occurring before November 6th, before the election. But one of the things I did in preparation for this, I took the fifth paragraph out of an AP release, went to the AP website, the original source, primary source, and I took this paragraph out. It says, "McCain and other Republicans have accused the White House of distorting the deadly Benghazi attack for political gain." This is McCain accusing the White House. I took that paragraph out word for word, slammed it in Google, and I expected to get several pages of people, of organizations picking up the story. I got nothing else for 33 pages. That's 330 organizations. And this is everything from CBS, NBC, ABC News it was somebody's newsletter, church newsletter in Rhode Island somewhere that picked up this AP story. And as you just talked about, this from all over the world. In other words, and this was within hours of this story coming out. In some cases, minutes, flashing all over the world, word for word, this AP story.
One of the problems is that my axiom that the first accounts of any event are inaccurate is that there's this huge pressure from the media for information, information, information. There's not enough time to check it. The people who are supposed to come up with a definitive description of what happened don't have time to put it together in order to meet the news cycle. So there is that underlying additional issue. Now, in the case when you have a highly politicized media like Fox News that wants to blow everything that happens into a scandal, this stuff that they said is astonishing. They accuse the president of this. They accuse him of covering up that. There's no evidence for any of this stuff. And, in fact, what's interesting, you can go on, and I like Media Matters for America.
I like Media Matters for America, too.
And you can listen to what the Fox commentator or one of these other right-wing commentators said, and then you can listen to what the person they're quoting said. So you can have their account of what Susan Rice says, and then you can read what Susan Rice said. And what she said was this was the preliminary take on the attack in Benghazi, that it was under investigation.
She said that a lot.
And she said, you know, so when you can actually go back and look at it, it's fascinating. The level of dishonesty, the level of partisanship overriding American national interest is just truly astonishing.
In some cases, it's just good old-fashioned right-wing conspiracy theory, you know, that somehow that Rice was part of a conspiracy theory to hide the administration's try to hide this failure of security in Benghazi before the election.
So the truth is we know there was a mistake because Americans got killed.
Absolutely.
How that mistake occurred, I don't know. The answer is it's sort of out. The ambassador, a very brave, very proactive guy who had been in Benghazi for much of 2011, had lots of friends and contacts there. In fact, you know, after he was killed, there were massive demonstrations in Benghazi. They took local people, took the jihadists that they thought were guilty and ran them out of town, essentially burned down their or attacked their compound. So they did have a lot of friends there. There was friendly Libyan militia there. This is one of the terrible things. I mean, you know, there's a new movie out about Lincoln, but Lincoln had all the bodyguards in the world. Someone still able to get to him and kill him. And the United States can be extremely strong, but somebody can always, you know, you can't judge a single event, you know. You're not going to win every battle of a war. We've gotten, I just, almost a cowardly disregard of the fact that, you know, you have to accept some casualties and accept that you're not going to do things perfectly. And when they analyze what would have protected this mission that they had there, this that they were beginning to set up in Benghazi, almost no level of troops except a huge force would have protected it. Now, there's always a conflict. If you talk to people in the State Department and stuff, there's always a conflict between the State Department people who want to go out and do their jobs, mm-hmm. and want to talk to people and want to, and the security people who are turning American embassies into fortresses. This wasn't a fortress because it wasn't an embassy and it wasn't even a consulate yet. They were just trying, it was a rented property. And so they had put up walls around it. It just wasn't strong enough.
It's not saying that there wasn't some failure in security.
Yes, there was.
But then again, that's how these things happen. USS Cole, I mean, Lebanon. There's always going to be, when you look back at second sight, when after the fact, you're going to find some way you could have prevented it, a failure in security. But the point of this discussion this morning is that in a heated election year, and I'm looking at the New York Times piece, in a heated election year of an American political debate, the truth is just lost, and political gain is everything.
You have to find sources that you trust, and you have to check things. And what I found, Mike, was that it's pretty easy. You know, there are websites now that make it pretty easy to check phony stories. And there were vicious stories about
Political Snopes. I mean, as big an, well, it's not as big an industry, but certainly there is an industry out there because of the lies out there to counteract the lies.
So I would recommend to everybody that you wait until the facts are out of Benghazi, when they have time to sort through things. The eyewitness reports are simply contradictory.
I think it's already done. I think we're already seeing the Republicans back off of the yesterday morning news shows, the Sunday morning news shows. The AP story was GOP opposition to diplomat Rice begins to crack. And so our own John McCain, who's been so vitriolic, so... This is blatant, where the anger is way bigger than the situation,
yeah,
where he's accusing the Obama administration, people in the Obama administration of all sorts of things. It's It's sad. Is this a tired old guy that just wants to stay in the limelight?
Yeah,
How far do I go here?
McCain makes. Here's how McCain works, and I'm sorry to say this because I once had respect for the guy. So when Bush mistreats him, he becomes a sort of moderate thorn in the side of the Bush administration.
Yeah.
When he loses the election to Obama, there's this deep hatred. And he has a deep hatred of Susan Rice because she did a fairly deadly criticism of his grandstanding in Baghdad, where he walked around in a flak jacket.
Oh, showing how safe Baghdad was at the...
Yeah, showing how safe Baghdad was. And he was widely ridiculed for it, like the time he quit his campaign and went to Washington to solve the fiscal crisis. She caught him grandstanding and said something. So there's a hatred there. I think he's trying to stay relevant. But I hate to see a man try to stay relevant and try to... who did serve his country and act like this, because Susan Rice has no line authority on this. She's not actually involved in anything deciding in Benghazi. Her territory, her turf, is the United Nations, and that's when she comes up for a confirmation hearing. If they do nominate her for Secretary of State, the heart of this is nothing to do with Benghazi or some statement that she read from the CIA. It has something to do with how good a job has she done at the UN? That's the question. Yeah. That's the question. That honest people, when she's brought forward as a nominee, that's the question you ask. How has she done the important job that we gave her before? If she's done well, that's important. If she's done poorly, that's another matter.
Getting back to McCain, pride goeth before a fall. I mean, this guy is so wrapped up with pride. Let me read from the, on Sunday, he said that, that Arizona Senator John McCain said he'd be willing to meet with Rice, the current UN ambassador, to consider her much scrutinized explanation about how September 11th attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, unfolded. So he's willing to listen, at least.
Well, that's because I think, Mike, there's a paper trail showing that she used administration talking points. And you can actually go and you can get a transcript of what she said. And it's quite different from the characterization of it that you see coming from Republicans. It's such a massive distortion. I'm astonished, and I follow a lot of politics.
I love the blog for Arizona. The gentleman who writes that said, he said it was local jihadists, you idiots, not Al-Qaeda, as the New York Times reported at the time of the attack. And as you said, first reports are often inaccurate. He didn't have much nice to say about McCain either.
The way it works is he's feeling irrelevant. He's old. This is his last term in the Senate. He was almost, in his own mind, president of the United States. There's this vitriol, in the old days they called it spleen. I think if you look back in the 19th century, this splenic, this deep gut level hatred, and it was directed towards somebody in the case of Susan Rice that didn't really have anything to do with anything except that she read the talking points, and then President Obama said, well, if you got a problem with Susan Rice, it's really like a kind of psychological lynching of somebody. For no good reason, because you think you can get them. And so Obama said, well, if you got a problem with this, take this up with me.
Yeah, good moment for him.
Yeah.
I don't want to put McCain on the couch. The analysis here, but this seems, and I don't want to say it's because he's old. I mean, you and I are old.
Yeah.
Tabak here is old.
Oh, he's very old. Very old, folks. You don't realize how old he is.
But that's not it. It's more, this goes to personality. This goes to, position. This goes to conspiracy theories. This goes to politics. Deep, 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 ugly, bad politics.
So, the Benghazi thing. There's going to be a report. Wait for the report before deciding stuff. The report may also not be perfect, because there's what I call the hindsight tendency. Somebody has always warned about security. If you worked in business, somebody's always saying, "Oh, we shouldn't do that." you know, and you can always find a paper trail of, yeah, somebody said, you know, we shouldn't really release that product, and sure enough, there it is. So there's a difference between types of paper trail, serious ones, and this is the problem, and ones that were, there's objections to everything. And so, although the ambassador asked for more security, he chose to go to Benghazi. And frankly, it would be very hard for anyone to stop him because he was the ambassador to the country.
Yeah, he was.
And that's like being the CEO, the American CEO in a country. They have a lot of authority. They have a lot of control over their, over what they do and where they do it. We don't know why he was in Benghazi really yet, but I think some of that will come out.
Right. Well, we may never know because it could be classified. I mean, that's the only thing. We're only getting unclassified stuff.
That's true.
We might not know for years.
We're guessing that the CIA is there. They're trying to take out really serious weapons, particularly anti-aircraft weapons, that Libya would have had that would have gotten into the extremist hands. That's probably what they're doing there. They're probably also monitoring the very people who attacked the embassy, but apparently not well enough.
We didn't talk about this, but I want to. We want to make sure that our listeners know that all our in-depth discussions here on democratic perspectives can be found on vvid.org. Vvid.org has all the old podcasts of our show going back almost 2 years, and we would we like to keep the sort of thing going. We want to keep, like I said, we're not reporters. We're not doing the news here. If we were doing the news, this show would have been on the fiscal cliff, like everybody else is talking about this morning. But we wanted to do an in-depth thing on the Benghazi and the whole desperately seeking scandals trip of the right-wing media. We would like to keep this going. It does cost money. And there's lots of ways you can do that. The website is probably the best. You can stop me at Java Love Coffee Shop and hand me a check. That would work just as well as the PayPal button on the VVID website.
Make it out to VVID. Don't make it out to Mike Cosentino.
Yeah, probably a good idea. But anyway, so we
I'm joking, folks.
Seriously, check it out. Please come to the website. It's a beautiful, simple, easy to use website. The podcast, you can subscribe to the podcast, as I do, because I haven't found a way to listen to my own shows and do them at the same time, our own shows, I should say. And so I get the podcast in my iTunes, and I can listen to them at my leisure. It does take a couple days for them to show up. We want to mention that. It won't be there as soon as we go off the air. It'll be there in a couple of days.
So we have a tragedy. Some Americans are killed. This is going to be a long struggle against Islamic extremists around the world. It's not going to end soon, and we do take them seriously. We don't blow off that they're a dangerous thing. But so much has happened since 9/11, and we don't know how much of it makes sense. The huge Department of Homeland Security, the wiretapping and stuff. How much of this is really necessary and how much of it is sort of covering your butt?
Right.
So that you wiretap everybody in the country. And it's astonishing with the scandal with the head of the CIA, how many emails they were able to pull, private emails between him and girlfriend, and without any kind of a warrant.
It is a disturbing thing.
I think they pulled thousands of emails from the military man who's replacing him.
Yeah, you're heading into the privacy area, but I do want to talk that if you have a problem, if you think we should pull together, if you think like 9/11 stuff, that rather than attacking each other when something bad happens at an embassy, that we should pull together. You know, writing letters and making phone calls really does matter. If Jan Brewer's phone rings and you have an issue, somebody often answers and you get to leave a message. If you want to call senators, you want to call congressmen, those calls, those emails really do matter. There's nothing more powerful than you can do. Two things. Listen to our show, and then write the letters, send the email, make the phone call to those people that you want to have a different response, have a together response. What do you say?
The next shows we hope will be on the fiscal cliff. We'll bring in a distinguished economist, and you'll have Mike and I chatting again about it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.